Welcome to the Mining and Markets Podcast, hosted by Synergy Capital, your source for finding opportunity in the junior mining and resources space, one voice at a time.
And welcome back to another episode of the Mining and Markets Podcast, hosted by Synergy Capital. Joining me today is Max Sally, the founder and head of corporate development at Monumental Energy, which trades on the Venture Exchange under their new symbol, MNRG, and on the OTC under symbol MNRF. Max, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm in Calgary here in our partner's office, Lithium Chile's office, trying to work on a few things here. And it's freezing cold, but that's not the point of travel. The point of travel is to work. So that's why I'm here.
Awesome. Let's jump right into it. I think I previously had the former CEO on the show maybe about a year ago. So some of the listeners are familiar with the story back then. Let's talk about the recent name change and the reasoning behind it.
You know, we had a rare earth project and, you know, things didn't work out quite as well as we thought. You know, we've had a management change since then. And I guess as the largest shareholder, I really felt that we needed to focus more on different energy alternatives. And so the reason for Monumental Minerals turning into Monumental Energy is because there was a lot of potential assets that we were looking to invest in or acquire, which we have since the name change. And I really think it adds to our focus that we're not just in lithium. I've always loved the lithium space. It's made me personally a lot of money. It's made a lot of people a lot of money. But obviously you have to divest and do other things at the same time. And with the capital we had, it made sense to go into other energy alternatives. And Monumental Energy just made sense, as my hat says. I'm the biggest supporter of my company, the biggest promoter. I love it. And it's a great way to expand the business.
Okay. And let's talk a little bit about the management shift. I know we have a new CEO. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So Michelle DiCecco is absolutely phenomenal. She was a director of our company. She's the COO of Lithium Chile, which is our partner, a much larger partner. And it's been fantastic working with her. She's a people person. She's got an MBA, very smart. She's in the office next door to me right now. But just having kind of a different mind shift when it comes to like how things are done, has really benefited the company. If you look at the stock chart over the last 2 months, it's way up. Obviously, I'd like to see it higher as the biggest shareholder, and working on that. And so having someone that I can call up at any time, that is open to any idea, and is also very significantly a big part of Lithium Chile, our partner, makes things seem like more of a partnership. You know, when you look at all of these junior companies that are kind of zombie companies, you know, you have all these companies that are paying audit fees and audit bills and financial fees. It's like, it makes sense to have people on the same side working together, and eventually that could lead to mergers. And that's what I like, is when you have two people with two companies that could potentially come together and make it one.
I agree. I'm a big fan of Lithium Chile, and I think that there could be some definitely good stuff that's worked out between you guys in the future. I want to discuss the recent investment that you guys made into New Zealand Energy. What made you guys decide to do that, as opposed to maybe picking up an oil and gas project yourself?
So this was the reason we did the name change to Monumental Energy. So New Zealand Energy Corp, which nobody on this podcast would probably remember, was a publicly listed company. It's been a publicly listed company since 2011, I think. They did a 25-cent 40-cent private round dollar IPO. Stock went to $4. The last financing they did was $60 million bought deal at $3. Huge market cap. They used that money to buy half of this oil and gas facility, which they now own 50% of, and it's in great working order. And over the last, you could say, 12 years, the company kind of sat dormant. Oil prices came off in 2014. A few months ago, someone walked into my office and said, hey, we're looking at this New Zealand Energy Corp. It's been rolled back more times than Play-Doh. There was 2.3 million shares out, so tiny market cap. You own 50% of a $100 million production facility that's working, so you're getting no value for that. You're fully permitted for drilling oil and gas wells, and all of that oil and gas gets sold directly to market in New Zealand. And so the new CEO, Frank Jacobs, we did a financing where we participated. We got cut back because the order book was so big. Put in $800,000 of his own money. And I always have a thing, when the guy running the show has a big investment, then I will invest. If the guy running the show tells you it's a good buy but doesn't put his own money in, that scares me. And he's an oil engineer. He's got a very good team behind him. And in the very near future, within, I would say, 2 months, They will be drilling a gas well, Tariki 5, and if everything goes to plan and it's as de-risked as you can get, that gas well will generate net to New Zealand 30 plus million, plus all of the oil workovers. So you go in there for a couple hundred grand and you get flush production, couple hundred barrels. That's huge revenue. And they are a dividend-driven company. So what New Zealand's Energy's plan is to then, when they produce, pay a dividend to their shareholders, i.e. Monumental, and we'll get a check for some of that production. So we made our money back. We have the upside of the stock. And not only that, but being a partner with them, there's so much potential for us to potentially do a farming agreement with some oil and gas wells and generate our own production, which means I don't have to go to you for money. So it made sense. It's almost too good to believe, but so far everything's been working out. And I think everyone will see in the next week or so, there'll be a new deck for New Zealand Energy. There's a lot of things coming, and I've been so impressed with the management that I can't wait to invest more money in the company. And it benefits Monumental significantly.
I like the strategy. Is the company looking to seek out other near-term oil and gas producers or exploration companies as a possible investment, or is that it?
So in order for us to do this investment, we had to get a waiver from the TSX because we're tier two. Technically, you need to be tier one to be able to invest in another company. So we got that waiver. We will try and invest more if we can. Otherwise, I'll invest personally. But no, you know, if you stretch yourself too far, it gets, you know, where is your focus? We have some beautiful Salars, and this capital that we will generate should allow us to be able to work on those Salars. And I think that's enough. I mean, the New Zealand energy space is very small, but it's a big revenue generator, and it's so de-risked that trying to go into another oil and gas, you know, exploration company, it's expensive. You have a ton of risk. You don't know where, you know, how long it's going to take. And so I think having the lithium and New Zealand is absolutely perfect. It's a sweet spot for us. And I'm comfortable staying in that space.
Okay. What's next for 2024?
Well, there's a few things we're working on in the office here now that I can't tell you. But, you know, the game plan is to obviously expand, build the company. You know, as someone who's bought a ton of stock in the market, and anyone can go and look at my filings, you know, this stock was hit 70 cents 2 years ago when we had nothing. Obviously, we had to raise some money. But I think there's a ton of potential. The fact that we're very close to working on our Salars in Chile, we brought on a lady who's very lovely. She's a hydrologist based in Chile. She's in San Pedro right now. She's with the community right now. We're very close to being able to get a deal done to work on Laguna Blanca, our big Salar. This Salar is 1,230 milligrams grade. It's got a ton of cesium. It's a project that, you know, I know lithium has come off significantly, and I know lithium stocks have come off even more. It doesn't take someone to know that lithium stocks are off 90%. And everyone did these big area plays in Quebec around PMET or in Nevada. And really the only big guy to come out of this was PMET, right? All these area plays don't work. And the reason I like brine is brine's always been the best and the biggest takeout. Since I founded a company called Advantage Lithium that was bought by Orocobre at the bottom of a market, they're now Alchem, for $69 million in 2020. If you had held on to your stock, the value of that takeover would have been about $400 million at the peak. And so, you know, when you look at brine, you look at the takeouts, you know, started with Lithium X, and then you got Millennial Lithium, and then Neo Lithium, and then Alpha Lithium recently. They're all brine. They're not hard rock. So from a Canadian's perspective, investing in brine is the best. Yes, we've been delayed in advancing these Salars because of community issues, but the grades are so high, they're so economical. There's nothing more economical that makes more money than a brine. And that's why we're sticking to the plan.
So you mentioned the community. What are the jurisdictions like in Chile?
So really your only, I guess, thing stopping you is community. Unlike certain countries, well, most countries, where you need permits, if the community says you can go and drill, you can drill. What you do is you submit a package with your drill program, the community approval, the locations of the drill targets to the government, and you go and drill. Very simple. We're getting very close on that. And, you know, unlike mining, when it comes to brine, you can drill three or four holes because the Salars are very homogenous and get a massive resource. And being in Chile, you know, you're easy to develop these, because, you know, you're close to ports and everything, and it's such a stable jurisdiction. Chile is, you know, obviously the biggest producer of copper. you know, working in Chile so far has been fantastic, dealing with the government, dealing with the people. In South America, I would say it's a tier one country.
Awesome. Okay, and just to wrap up, Max, can you talk a little bit about the share structure and the cash position?
58 million shares out. I'm the largest shareholder. I know I can tell you where 90% of the stock is. Obviously, we've had some volume recently, which is great. You know, I'm happy that retail is participating. Our cash position as of last reporting financials is about 3.4 million. But there's a few things in the works that could generate us more revenue. Again, I can't speak about that. But, you know, just to wrap up too, I want to say that, you know, I'm very passionate about what I do. If this doesn't work, I don't do well. And that's not what I'm about. So, you know, people that want to participate want to know that the person running this business also has significant skin in the game, and that's what I do. This is not a salary job. I spend all my money buying stock. This will work because there's no other option.
Great. Thank you so much for your time today, Max.
Thank you so much, Olivia.
We hope you enjoyed this episode, and remember to follow us on social media, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. This episode should not be considered investment advice. Always do your own due diligence.